It has never been more possible in all of human history for you to become financially independent than it is today. We are living in the age of the greatest abundance and opportunity ever imagined. By one measure, there are almost 5 million self-made millionaires in America today, and the number is increasing by about 15% each year. According to Forbes magazine, there are more than 150,000 people in the U.S. with a net worth of more than $10 million, and fully 170 billionaires. Most of these wealthy people started with little or nothing, sometimes deeply in debt, and have acquired their fortunes in one generation of hard work. The richest man in America, and perhaps the world, is Bill Gates, and he is in his 40s. One of your primary goals should be to become financially independent over the course of your working lifetime. The interesting thing is that virtually everyone wants to make a lot of money, but only a very few set this as a clear, specific, written goal with a detailed plan to accomplish it. This is why only 5% of people who reach retirement age are financially independent, while the vast majority are still working, still worried, or dependent on pensions and support from the government or from their families. This is definitely not for you. Now, if only one or two people had started off in life with nothing and become financially independent in America, you could call that an accident. If several people started with nothing and became financially independent, you could perhaps call that a coincidence. But if hundreds of thousands and even millions of men and women coming from every conceivable background imaginable could become financially independent, even millionaires, over the course of their lifetimes, then so can you. I started off with a dream to be a millionaire by the age of 30. I found that almost everyone had the same dream. When I reached the age of 30, I was still broke and deeply in debt, so I moved my deadline back to 35 and then 40. At about the age of 38, having been up and down and in and out of the money many times, it suddenly dawned on me that I didn't know very much about self-made millionaires. I'd always wanted to be one, but I couldn't even describe to another person how millionaires went about going from rags to riches, from having little or no wealth to success and affluence. Now, if you want to become a cook, you study cooking. If you want to become a lawyer, you study law. It's the same with engineering, architecture, or any other field. And if you want to become financially independent, you study money. You study men and women who have become financially independent, and you learn exactly what it is that they did to go from the bottom to the top. The iron law of human destiny is the law of cause and effect. Everything happens for a reason. Wealth is an effect. And if you can trace it back to its causes, you can duplicate the causes and, in so doing, achieve the same effect that others have achieved. Every single person should set it as a personal goal to become a millionaire in the course of his or her working lifetime. If hundreds of thousands and millions of people have been able to do it, then so can you. The good news today is that there is an ample supply of money for all who want it. We live in the greatest age of abundance ever known to man on this earth. We are entering into the golden age that has been dreamed of by philosophers throughout all of history. I have traveled all over the world and studied every other economic system. I have spent hundreds and even thousands of hours studying money and economics, and I can assure you that the major limits to wealth creation are the limits that you place on yourself by your own thinking. Once you throw off those limits, there is virtually nothing that could stop you, as long as you learn the laws of cause and effect as they apply to money, and then apply them to every single part of your financial life until you achieve your goal. Here's a question for you. What are you worth? What are you really, really worth? If someone offered to hire you for an annual amount, how much would you sell yourself for? What is your self-image, your self-concept with regard to your earning ability, your real value, your real worth to yourself and your world? The answers to these questions do more to determine your income than any other single factor. The truth is that you are worth vastly more than you are earning today. Most people have stumbled into their current occupation or even backed into it by taking whatever job or position that came along at the moment they needed it. Very few people have developed a clear, specific blueprint for their financial lives. This is why, for most people, their current financial condition seems to be the result of a series of random events over which they have little control. To achieve financial independence, begin to think of yourself as a money-generating organism, with the ability to earn more and more progressively as you develop ever greater levels of talent and skill that you can apply in a competitive marketplace. Decide today to set a goal to become a millionaire. If you are already a millionaire, set a goal to increase it 10 times to become a decimillionaire, worth $10 million or more. Write it down. Set a deadline. Make a list of everything you're going to have to do to become a millionaire, and then organize your list into a plan. Identify the obstacles that stand in your way. Identify the additional knowledge and skills you will require to increase your personal value to the height where people are willing to pay you a lot to do what you do. Identify the people, groups, and organizations whose assistance you will need to achieve financial independence. Then, organize all the details of your plan by priority and sequence. What is more important? What is less important? What should you do immediately? What can you put off until later? Then take action in the direction of your goal of financial independence and never stop until you achieve it. The only question you ask is, how? And keep reminding yourself, failure is not an option. The basic rule for achieving financial independence has always been the same. It is, spend less than you earn and save or invest the difference. You are not going to win the lottery. No distant relative is going to die and leave you a large sum of money. Everything you ever accomplish financially is 100% and completely up to you. You are responsible. No one else will ever do it for you. Achieving financial independence is one of the most important things you ever do in life, and you must make it a top priority from this moment forward. Now, what is money? Well, money is often referred to as a medium of exchange. But what does this mean? What it means is that you exchange your work, your labor, your services for money, which you then trade for the work and services of others. The amount of money that you are paid for what you do is the measure of the value that people place on your contribution. If you want to increase the amount of money that you are receiving, you must increase the value of what you are giving for the money. We talked about some key financial ratios and principles earlier. One of them was the winning edge concept. This concept says that small differences in ability can translate into large differences in results. Most particularly, what one skill could you begin developing right now that could dramatically increase the overall value of what you do for others? Whatever that skill is, identify it clearly, write it down, and set a deadline for its attainment. Then, create a detailed plan of personal and professional development and go to work immediately to become very, very good in that area. Apply the concept of critical success factors, or CSFs, to your work. There are seldom more than 5 to 7 critical success factors in any job or position. Your job is to be absolutely clear about what they are with regard to your work, and then give yourself a grade on each one of them. For example, in management, the critical success factors are the following 7 skills. Your ability in each area and in all areas together largely determines your success as a manager. First, planning. Second, organizing. Third, staffing. Fourth, delegating. Fifth, supervising. Sixth, measuring. And seventh, reporting. A weakness in any one of these areas can hold you back or even sabotage your career. If you're in sales, the 7 critical success factors are first, prospecting. Second, establishing rapport. Third, identifying the exact problem or need of the customer. Fourth, presenting your products or services as the ideal solution to the problem or need that you've identified. Fifth, answering objections and concerns that the customer might have. Sixth is asking for the order and closing the sale. And seventh is getting resales and referrals to new prospects and customers. Whatever your field, there are usually only 5 to 7 critical success factors that determine how well you do in that area. To succeed in any field, on a scale of 1 to 10, you need to be at least a 7 in every area. To achieve great success, you must be absolutely positively excellent right across the board. Here's the most important point. Your weakest critical success factor sets the height at which you can use all your other skills. Your weakest important skill in your field determines the height of your income, the value of your contribution, and the amount that you are paid. I have worked with countless professionals in a variety of fields and helped them to identify their weakest areas. Often it was an area that they did not particularly like or enjoy. They felt awkward and uncomfortable when they were engaging in that activity. They often did it poorly, and as a result, they tended to avoid it, thereby becoming worse and worse. For example, a sales professional in Dallas told me that he hated prospecting. He was not very good at it, so he avoided it as much as possible. It was no surprise that his sales were decreasing, and he was on the verge of losing his job. When he realized that the reason he hated prospecting was because he was poor at it, he resolved to become absolutely excellent at prospecting. Instead of avoiding it, he tackled it head on. He threw his whole heart into starting a little earlier, working a little harder, and staying a little later to become very good at prospecting. Like a plane coming out of a dive, his prospecting skills began to improve. As his prospecting skills improved, his sales began to improve as well. Within 6 months, he was a prospecting machine. He was excellent on the phone and excellent face-to-face. He cold called regularly just for practice. His sales and his income went up 100%, 200%, 300%, 400%. When I met him a year later, he told me that his company had begun flying him around the country to teach his prospecting skills to salespeople in the other branch offices. He came to the attention of senior management. 1 year from the day he changed his thinking about this critical success factor and committed himself to becoming excellent at prospecting, he was promoted into management, transferred to St. Louis with a large bonus, a salary 3 times what he had been earning before, and 22 salespeople upon whom he received an override on all their sales. He told me that his life had literally transformed in 1 year when he identified his weakest key skill and then threw his whole heart into bringing it up to a high level. We talked earlier about the fact that all strategic planning is aimed at increasing your return on equity. As an individual, your goal is to get the very highest return on energy, or return on the amount of intellectual, emotional, and physical capital you are investing each day in your work. In every audience I speak to, there are people making $25,000 a year and wishing that they could do better. In the same audiences, there are people earning $250,000 a year, 10 times as much, and absolutely determined to do better. They are usually offering the same products and services out of the same offices to the same customers at the same prices in the same market area with the same competition. But some of them are earning 10 times as much as others. Whenever I interview the higher-earning people in any industry, I find that at a certain point in their careers, they decided to get serious. They decided to go all the way to the top. They decided to pay any price, to overcome any obstacle, and to solve any problem that stood in the way of them joining the top 10% in their field. It may have taken months, even years, but at a certain point, virtually every single one of those people finally reached the top 10% and the income that went along with it. Here's the rule. Until you get into the top 10% of your field, you'll never be really successful and you'll never be really happy. All the rewards in our society go to the people who are really, really good at what they do. You must be continually looking for ways to increase your return on energy, to get the very highest amount of money you possibly can in exchange for your time and efforts. We live in a world where intellectual capital is the primary source of value, of wealth. A series of studies on the relationship between annual income and education show over and over again that the more you learn, the more you earn. From high school onward, the average person earns between $100,000 and $200,000 additional dollars in their lifetime for every additional year of education that they receive. And the more specialized and focused the education is on preparing a person to do a highly valued job in the marketplace, the more they're paid and the faster they're promoted. The concept of market value added, which we talked about before, refers to everything that you learn and practice throughout your career. You always look at every book, tape, and course in terms of how the particular knowledge and skills offered can increase your market. Perhaps the most important single measure of how important an activity is to you can be determined by its possible consequences in your life. Something that has serious potential consequences is very important. Something that has no potential consequences is unimportant and even irrelevant. Many thousands of people who are struggling at the bottom of their companies find themselves at the very top of their businesses in 1 or 2 years by committing themselves to continuous learning. Once you reach the top of your field, you will find yourself doing everything you possibly can to stay there. What is fascinating is that it's relatively easy to stay at the top of your field once you get there. What is hard is the journey to the top in the first place. That is why most people never take it. Perhaps the most important single quality for success in your financial life is the quality of self-discipline. Self-discipline has been defined as the ability to make yourself do what you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. It has been said that success is tons of discipline. Jim Rohn says it a different way. He says that discipline weighs ounces, but regret weighs tons. Your level of self-discipline is demonstrated in your willingness and your ability to pay the price of success in advance. Because the law of sowing and reaping is immutable, you can always tell how much of the price of success you've paid so far. Just look around you. There it is. The life that you are enjoying today, the crop that you are reaping today in your financial life, is a perfect reflection of the seeds that you have sown in past time periods. If you're not happy with your current harvest, you must discipline yourself to pay even more of the price today so that you can enjoy more of the rewards tomorrow. The consequences of continuously upgrading your skills and your ability to make a valuable contribution are extraordinary. They can affect your life for decades. By joining the top 10%, by becoming one of the best people in your field, you will have a far better lifestyle, a beautiful home, beautiful cars. You will be able to provide the people you care about with the things they really want and need in life. By training yourself to be worth vastly more money than you're earning today, you move yourself into the elite in our society. You assure that you will always have a high income and freedom from financial worries. And if you play your cards right, you will achieve financial independence and eventually reach the point where you never have to worry about money again. There are 4 R's that you can apply to your own personal service corporation to assure that you are earning the very most that you are capable of and that you are continually increasing your income vastly ahead of the average person. The first R is called restructuring. Virtually every single company in the world today is going through a restructuring of some kind, often several restructurings, one after the other. In corporate terms, restructuring means moving more and more of the people, activities, and resources of the company closer to where they provide real, measurable value to the customer that the customer is willing to pay for. As an exercise, imagine a customer walking through your company and looking at everything that the people in your company are doing. Which of these specific activities would your customer be willing to pay for? When companies ask this on a regular basis, they find that their customers are really only willing to pay for the final product or service that they receive, and that they have little or no interest in paying for the process of producing the product or service. This has led many large companies to outsource virtually everything except the 1 or 2 things that they do especially well that customers are willing to pay for. This is called restructuring. In your personal life, to achieve financial independence, you must continually restructure as well. Keep asking yourself, what are the few specific things that I do that that are responsible for most of the value for which I am paid. If you're in sales, the most important thing you do is to develop new business. The highest paid and most respected sales professionals are those who spend fully 80% of every working day focused on developing new business, and they put everything else aside. They delegate, outsource, or eliminate all activities that are not aimed at developing new business. As a result, they earn 5 and 10 times as much as the average salesperson who's preoccupied with paperwork, busy work, office work, socializing, and personal business. The second R that you've heard about is reengineering. Reengineering refers to process analysis. In companies, they analyze every step of the process of creating value for the customer. They make a list and plot every single activity from the initial receipt of the raw material through to the delivery of the finished product to the customer and the collection of payment for it. Then, reengineering requires that this process be streamlined and made efficient. Every single step is questioned carefully. Some steps are consolidated into a single step. Some steps are eliminated altogether. Some steps are outsourced to other companies or other departments. This constant process of reengineering enables companies to reduce the development of new products and services from 2 years to 2 months. It enables them to put out proposals to customers in 6 days rather than in 6 weeks. Reengineering forces people to continually evaluate every single part of what they are doing while looking for ways to accomplish the same result faster, cheaper, and more efficiently. When you reengineer your career, you look at every step in your work process, from the time you get up in the morning until the time you go to sleep at night. You constantly look for ways to increase your efficiencies and cut your costs. Since your most precious resource is your time, when you re-engineer, you continually look for ways to reduce the amount of time it takes you to achieve a specific result. Identify the bottlenecks and the choke points. Identify the areas where time saving is possible. Identify the most valuable things you do, and then organize every minute of every day so that you are doing more and more of those high-value activities and achieving more and more higher-value results. The third R is reinventing. Companies reinvent themselves by continually imagining what they would do with their resources if they were no longer in their existing business. A company looks upon itself as a bundle of abilities with talented people, money, space, market reputation, distribution channels, advertising, other things necessary to produce products and services for the market. Then, the company imagines that the entire business burned to the ground overnight and they had to start again. They ask themselves, what would we start up immediately? What would we start up second? What would we not get into again, knowing what we now know? In reinventing, companies ask themselves, if we were starting over again today, which of our staff and executives would we bring with us into the new business? Which would we encourage to go somewhere else? In your own life, you must be reinventing yourself every 6 to 12 months as well. Everything in your world is changing so rapidly that you cannot afford to become stagnant or complacent. If you were not doing what you are doing today, and you could start doing something completely different, or anything completely different, what would it be? Always think about doubling your income. If you are not doing what you are doing today, the way you are doing it, and you were serious about doubling your income by doubling the value of your contribution, what would you do differently if you could? Everyone has goals, either clearly defined or vague and fuzzy. Each of your goals is organized by priority, from your most important goal at the top of your list to your least important goal way down at the bottom. You can always tell what your real goals are by looking at what you do most of the time. People who want to achieve financial independence are thinking about and working on it most of the time. According to Dr. Thomas Stanley's study of self-made millionaires in his book, The Millionaire Next Door, the average self-made millionaire in America spends 10 to 20 hours each month thinking about and studying his or her money. The average person in America, even some of the highest paid people, spend less than 2 or 3 hours per month studying their money. And since you become what you think about, if you are continually thinking about your money, and especially thinking about how you can increase your value by doing more important and more highly paid things, you naturally tend to do the things that increase your income. The fourth R is reorganization. It used to be that companies reorganized every few years. Today, companies reorganize continually in response to continual and unpredictable changes in the environment around them. When a company reorganizes, it has to start new functions and discontinue old functions. It has to move people from positions of low productivity to positions of higher productivity. It has to place more emphasis on high-value, high-profit products and de-emphasize or eliminate low-value, low-profit products. The whole purpose of reorganization is to better use the resources of the company to increase the return on equity, the return on investment of time and money. In reorganizing your own work life, you must do the same. You must be continually looking for ways to spend more and more of your time and talents on more and more of those things that are worth the very most to your company and to your customers. A good friend of mine spent many years building up his business. He had several hundred customers for his business who bought from him year after year. One day, however, he sat down and analyzed his accounts. He found that 20% of his customers accounted for more than 80% of his business. But what really surprised him was his discovery that the 80% of customers who only accounted for 20% of his business took up more than 80% of his time and kept him from developing more higher-value customers who would be members of this top 20%. So he made a decision. He decided to fire the bottom 80% of his customers. He didn't simply cut them off, but he created a series of strategic alliances with other small businesses in his field, and one by one he handed off his smaller customers to smaller companies for whom they would be more valuable and better treated. Then he was free to concentrate on the 20% of his customers who represented more than 80% of his business. In his first year after making this decision, his personal income doubled to more than $1 million, and it increased 40 to 50% per year every year thereafter. Sometimes in the process of restructuring, re-engineering, reinventing, and reorganizing, you have to be prepared to completely change what you are doing. You have to be prepared to discontinue some activities so that you can spend more time on other, higher value activities. Since your most precious resource is your time, and the key to time management is your ability to set proper priorities, there's another concept that is invaluable to you. This is the idea of setting posteriorities as well. A priority is something that you do more of and sooner. A posteriority is something, on the other hand, that you do less of and later, if at all. A priority is something that you move up on your list of activities and focus on getting done earlier and well. A posteriority is something that you decide to cut back on or discontinue altogether. Here's the secret. You can only get your life under control to the degree to which you stop doing certain things of low value in order to free up more time that you can then use to do things of higher value. Peter Drucker calls this the process of creative abandonment. This is the process of carefully thinking through everything you do with a view to discontinuing all those things that are no longer as valuable to you as the one or two things that only you can do that can really make a difference in your career. Before you do something new, you must discontinue something old. Before you get into something you haven't been involved in before, you must get out of something that is already taking up your time and energy. To set meaningful priorities, you must simultaneously set specific posteriorities and eliminate those activities that are no longer as important as other activities in generating a high income for you and moving you toward financial independence. William Bridges, in his book Job Shift, suggests that you see yourself as an independent consultant, selling your services to your company on an hourly basis. As you know, the hourly rates of consultants can be very high. It's not uncommon for consultants to charge $200 and $300 an hour, or even more. When you are a consultant, as I have been, you're aware that everyone in the company is looking at your activities on an hourly basis. They know that you are receiving a very high hourly amount, and they are very demanding in terms of getting their money's worth for every hour that you put in, for every hour that you bill them. As a consultant, you make every minute count. You don't socialize or spend time drinking coffee. You are charging too much for anyone to see you wasting a single minute in the course of your consulting day. Even your clients try to make their conversations with you as brief as possible. They don't want to take away a single minute from your consulting activities because you are so expensive. When you begin to see yourself as a consultant, compensated on an hourly basis with everyone watching you, you become far more sensitive to using every minute in the most valuable way possible. You set clear priorities for every minute of the day, and you work your priorities with tremendous discipline and focus. You know that your job is to justify your consulting fees by continually creating greater value than you charge every single hour. The most important words in increasing your income and achieving financial independence are the words added value. Every hour of every day, you must be looking for ways to add value to what you're doing. As a high achiever, you no longer think in terms of weeks and months. You think in terms of minutes and hours, and you make every minute count. The key to wealth has always been summarized in a single phrase: value creation. The way that you become wealthy is by creating value, and then by retaining some of that value for yourself. Since the primary asset you have to invest is your own human and intellectual capital, your job is to continually look for ways to create more and more value in everything you do by applying your energies to their highest and best use. Your primary career goal should be to become a self-made millionaire. You must focus and concentrate all your time, attention, and energies throughout your working life toward becoming wealthy. In everything you do, you must always be looking for better, faster, cheaper, easier, and more efficient ways to add value, to create value, to get results for which people will gladly pay. Your goal is to get into the top 10% of your field, to be the best at what you do, to be one of the highest paid people in your career. And then, your goal is to properly deploy your financial resources to become financially independent over the course of your working lifetime. The primary goal of your financial life is for you to become a millionaire or better during your working lifetime. And the time to start thinking about it is now. Fortunately, to become a millionaire is not that difficult. Fully 5% of American families have a net worth in excess of $1 million today, and the number is increasing dramatically every year, as we've already discussed. The most important attitude that guarantees financial success is called long-time perspective. Successful people think long-term. They think 5, 10, and even 20 years into the future. Long-time perspective sharpens short-term focus. When you have a long-time perspective for your life, when you have long-term goals, you make far better decisions in the short term with your time and your money. The very best strategy is for you to have a long-term vision combined with a short-term focus. Keep your mind on where you want to end up way down the road, and then focus single-mindedly every night and every day on doing just those things right now today that can help you the most to achieve your long-term goals. Fortunately, becoming a millionaire today has never been easier. In fact, if you were to save $100 per month from the age of 20 to the age of 65, and you were to invest this money in a carefully selected no-load mutual fund, it would grow on average 10 to 11% per year and would make you worth more than $1 million when you retire. The basic rule for financial success has never changed. It is that 10% of all you earn is yours to keep. Your primary financial goal is to build a financial fortress. It is to achieve a financial position in life where you are completely protected from all financial difficulties and shortfalls that most people experience. to build your own financial fortress, your goal is to save 10% or more of your income throughout your working lifetime. The average American earns about $25,000 to $35,000 per year. If you were just to save $2,500 to $3,500 per year, every year, year after year, and you were to invest that money carefully and wisely, your long-term financial independence would be guaranteed. Most people make a good living, but then they go out and spend it all and a little bit more besides. The average American family lives on about 110% of their income, making up the difference with loans from banks, credit cards, and relatives. Of course, living beyond your means is a guaranteed recipe for disaster. Last year, almost 1.5 million Americans declared bankruptcy because their debts finally became too great for them ever to pay them off. The fact is that it's not how much money you earn, but how much money you keep that counts. Many high-earning professionals are only two paychecks away from homelessness. They have no savings at all. They spend and spend and spend with very little long-time perspective. But this is not for you. You must discipline yourself immediately to begin putting away a part of your income. And this money is not being saved or invested for a new motorhome, a vacation, or a bigger house. The money that you put away to build your financial fortress is exclusively for savings. If you want another house, a car, a motorhome, you open up another savings account. But your financial fortress account is money that you put away and never, never touch. The fact is that if you are saving that money for a rainy day, it will always rain sometime somewhere in your life. Why is it that some people make a lot of money and are still broke and in debt most of the time? This is explained by Parkinson's Law. Parkinson's Law says that expenses rise to meet income. This law says that no matter how much you earn, your expenses will gradually rise to consume it all, and usually a little bit more besides. In order to succeed financially, you must consciously, deliberately, and continuously break Parkinson's Law. You must drive a wedge between your increasing income over time and your increasing expenses. This wedge, this difference between your earnings and your expenditures, is what you save and invest to create your financial fortress. For example, if you get an increase of $100 per month, instead of spending the entire $100, you can allow your standard of living to rise by $50, and you save or invest the other $50. Over time, as your income increases, as you increase your value, you consciously and deliberately increase the amount of your income you are putting away automatically every single paycheck. I have many friends who began saving 10% of their income off the top some years ago. Every one of those people is now either financially independent or rapidly approaching it. Pay yourself first. However much you earn, take 10% and put it away. Learn to live on the other 90%. Remember, we said that all of life and success is determined by your habits. Well, develop the habit of living on 90% or less of your income. Very soon, it becomes automatic and easy. You find that there is little or no effect on your standard of living, and your 10% begins to accumulate, like a snowball rolling down a mountain. The two great principles of investing that will eventually make you rich are compound interest and dollar cost averaging. Compound interest is considered the greatest miracle of financial accumulation ever discovered in the history of man. When you invest and let your money grow year after year at compound interest, the amount eventually becomes enormous. $1 invested at 3% interest, allowed to compound from the time that Christ walked the earth, would be worth most of the money in the world today. In accounting, there is what is called the law of 72. This says that you can divide any percentage rate of return into the number 72 to determine how long it will take your money to double. For example, if you were getting 9% interest or return on your money, divided into 72 would equal 8 years for your money to double. if you were getting 10% return on your money would double every 7.2 years. A friend of mine, the owner of a large accounting firm, does the accounting for many wealthy people. He found an interesting pair of statistics in preparing the financial statements and tax returns for his clients. He found that the average wealthy person adds to their capital savings and investment base by about 8% or 9% per year. In addition, the average wealthy person earns a return of about 8% to 9% on their accumulated capital year in and year out. When you read about the stock market and people making their millions and billions of dollars, this 8 or 9% per year doesn't sound like very much, but all long-term money is patient money. It is conservative money. It is careful money. It is money that is put aside with an eye on the long term, and it virtually guarantees long-term financial success. The studies on self-made millionaires are interesting. There are self-made millionaires who are truck drivers, crane operators, school teachers, salespeople, sailors, farmers, executives, and of course entrepreneurs. Interviews with tens of thousands of men and women who are worth more than $1 million shows that they come from every walk of life and from every income category. You don't have to make a lot of money to become wealthy if you begin saving early enough, save long enough, and never touch it while it grows and accumulates with the force and power of compound interest. You've heard the question, would you take $1,000 or would you take a penny if that penny were to be doubled every day for 30 days? Many people would take $1,000, but if you doubled a penny every day for 30 days, the amount you would have would total many millions of dollars. Work it out for yourself. That is how compound interest works, but not as quickly. It causes money to grow and grow and grow until finally the returns from your money are great enough for you to be able to do whatever you want for the rest of your life without working. One of the great rules for financial success is called the law of creative emulation. This is an offshoot of the law of cause and effect. It simply says that if you want to become wealthy, starting with little or nothing, you should carefully study those who have also become wealthy, starting with little or nothing. You should then do the same things that they do, over and over again, until you achieve the same goals that they have. You should emulate their behaviors. Of course, you know that in order to achieve something that you've never achieved before, you must become someone that you've never been before. You must develop the attitudes and mindset, the habits, characteristics, and qualities of financially successful people. In fact, you must become a new person in your thinking in a very positive way. We've already talked about self-discipline and how self-discipline is absolutely indispensable to success. Your ability to delay gratification, to put off pleasures in the short term in order to enjoy even greater pleasures in the long term, is the absolutely indispensable requirement for success. Closely tied to self-discipline is the practice of frugality. All self-made millionaires are extremely frugal and careful with their money and with every dollar they spend. Self-made millionaires are far more concerned with achieving financial independence than they are with the short-term enjoyment of their money that comes from throwing it around on expensive cars, clothes, homes, and other things. Self-made millionaires, as a rule, don't buy new cars. They buy high-quality cars, but they wait until the cars are about 2 years old. After about 2 years, about 20 to 25% of the cost of the car, in terms of depreciation, has been squeezed out. They then buy good-quality used cars in excellent condition and drive them for several years. Sam Walton, when he was one of the richest men in the world, still drove a pickup truck to and from work. It wasn't that he couldn't afford more than a pickup truck, in that he was worth about $25 billion. It was this attitude toward money, however, that made it possible for him to accumulate so much money in the first place. Imagine that a new car costs $30,000. If you wait 2 years and buy the car after it has decreased by about 25% in cost, you can purchase it for about $22,500. You can save $7,500 and you have an almost new car. Self-made millionaires think in these terms. They then take the $7,500 that they would have lost on depreciation in exchange for the short-term pleasure of having a new car rather than a used car, and they put that money away and they allow it to grow at compound interest. $7,500 put away every 5 years or so, allowed to grow at compound interest over the course of a working lifetime, at 10% would be worth more than $150,000 added to their financial fortress by the time they retire. Remember, discipline weighs ounces, but regret weighs tons. Fun is fleeting, but financial independence can last a lifetime. The second major principle of wealth creation is called dollar cost averaging. This simple technique requires that you invest a fixed amount, steady, every single month, no matter whether the stock market is high or low. With dollar cost averaging, sometimes you will get in when stocks are down, and sometimes you will purchase when stocks are high. But the fascinating thing is that your overall costs of stocks will be lower than if you simply invest lump sums from time to time. There are countless mutual fund millionaires today. These are people who began a systematic monthly savings program and put their money away every month, year after year. The market may go up and the market may go down, but year after year they continue to invest the same amount or even more. And at the end of a certain period of time, the total value of their account is sometimes 5 and 10 times greater than the total amount they have put in over time. The combination of compound interest plus dollar cost averaging will make you rich. It makes everyone rich. It is the greatest combination to assure your financial independence that has ever been discovered, but it requires discipline. The most important attitude of financially independent people is that they prefer financial independence to short-term expenditure. They have a particular way of measuring how well they are doing in life. They call this their run rate or their burn rate. This is defined as the amount of time that they can live at their current standard of living without working. People who become financially independent are focused intensely on increasing the length of time that they can enjoy their current lifestyle without ever working again. Here's a question. How long could you live today at your current cost of living and lifestyle if you stopped working and you stopped generating income? This is not a comfortable question for most people. Most people have no savings put aside. The average household in America has a net worth of $31,000. And this may be after 10 or 20 or 30 years of one or two people working and making one of the highest combined incomes enjoyed by any family in the world. But somehow, all the money is gone. The net worth is only $31,000. The average savings account for the average American family contains less than $1,000. Most people could not stop working today, no matter what happens, including retirees at 65 and older. Most people, if their income was cut off for any period of time, would immediately begin losing their cars, their credit cards, and eventually their homes. This is a terrible way to live. There are several reasons why people fail to become wealthy, no matter how much they earn over the course of 10, 20, and 30 years living in the most affluent society in the history of man. The first reason that they don't become wealthy is that they never think about it. This is very dangerous. If you were raised in a family where your parents were not financially independent, and if you move in a social circle where people are not financially independent, it may never occur to you that you can become financially independent yourself. You will unconsciously assume that financial independence is for other people, but not for you. The thought will not even cross your mind. You will admire and respect and envy people who are doing better than you, but it will never occur to you that anything that hundreds of thousands and millions of other people have done, you can do as well. And even if it occurs to you, you will never take the first step. And by never taking the first step, you will turn out to be right. You'll never make it. The second reason that people don't become wealthy is that, even if it occurs to them, they never decide to become wealthy. Oh, they may think about it and wish and hope and dream, but they never make a firm, do-or-die decision that they are going to achieve financial independence. Everyone you talk to has a goal of having a lot of money someday, but very few people have ever made the unequivocal decision that they are going to do whatever it takes, make any sacrifice, delay any gratification necessary to achieve their goal. And in the absence of making a decision, nothing ever happens. The third reason that people may make a lot of money during their lifetimes and end up with very little is because they procrastinate. They delay. They hold off on the start of their savings program. They always have a reason to put it off for another month, another season, another year. Many people think that they have an endless ability to make money so that they can start saving and investing at any time. Even if they delay it for a year or two while they are buying houses, cars, clothes, and vacations, they somehow think that one of these days they will reverse all of these years of habits of spending. They think that someday, somehow, they will start putting their money away. This seldom ever happens. The starting point of your becoming financially independent is for you to start with the goal and work back to the present. Begin with the end in mind. Sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and begin developing a financial blueprint for your future. First of all, decide exactly how much money you want to have when you retire. Assume that your money will grow at an average of 10% per year. Decide how much money you will have to accumulate in order to be able to live comfortably with a 10% return on your savings and investments. You must also include or deduct whatever taxes you would have to pay on a particular stream of income, interest, or dividends. For example, if you need $50,000 a year net after all taxes and deductions to live, and your overall tax rate, state, federal, city, and sales tax, adds up to about 50%, you would need $100,000 per year in cash flow to maintain your current standard of living. This means that you would require $1 million saved up, invested, and working, yielding 10% per year for you to end up with $50,000 net. By the way, when you calculate your net worth, you can use two numbers. The first number, the number used by most people, includes their house, their car, their clothes, their furniture, jewelry, their stereo set, and their television, plus the amount of money they have saved up or invested. But the second way, the conservative way, the realistic way to calculate your net worth, is to add up the amount of money that you could get from liquidating all your savings and investments, but excluding your house, your car, your clothes, and your personal possessions. This is a more accurate estimate of your net worth because, first of all, most of your personal possessions are not liquid. If you sold them, you could only get pennies on the dollar. And with regard to your home, you always have to have a place to live so that if you sold one home, you'd have to get another. When a bank looks at a personal financial statement, they immediately eliminate or deduct everything that cannot be quickly turned into cash in an open market. Do the same thing. The best way to calculate your net worth is in terms of net liquid assets, like stocks, bonds, savings, and investment real estate that can be sold reasonably quickly in the marketplace. Once you've determined how much you want to have per year to support your current lifestyle, you determine how much you'll have to accumulate in order to enjoy that cash flow. You then set this as your financial goal. Let us assume that your financial goal is $1 million of net liquid assets accumulated over the coming years. That becomes your target. To get from zero assets to $1 million takes an average of approximately 22 years, based on the research into hundreds of thousands of self-made millionaires. Since most people don't start accumulating any money until their 30s, often their 40s, don't feel too badly if you are starting off behind in the race. You can always make it up by working a little harder and saving a little more. Let's say that you set 20 years for your target for achieving a net worth of $1 million. You then draw a straight line back to the present and calculate exactly how much liquid net worth you have today. You can then determine how much you will have to save and invest each year, every year, for the next 20 years to achieve your goal of $1 million. You then break your annual targets down into monthly targets and you determine how much you'll have to save each month in order to achieve your financial goal each year. If your goal is to achieve $1 million in net worth in 10 years, you use the same process. You set your goal 10 years out and you calculate back to the present to determine how much you're going to have to save every year and every month to get there. You can use a conservative rate of return of approximately 10%. Almost any calculator will give you a straight line projection of the exact amount you'll have to save each month, each year, at a particular interest rate in order to achieve your financial goal. These numbers now become your targets. The three legs of the financial security stool are savings, insurance, and investments. For your savings, your goal is to set aside enough money so that you can live for 3 to 6 months without working in the case of an emergency. This money can be in savings accounts, money market accounts, or carefully selected mutual funds. In any case, this money is liquid. It can be converted to cash within a few days to support your lifestyle if your income were cut off for any period of time. It's absolutely amazing what a difference it makes in your life and to your peace of mind when you know that if you lost your job, you could go on living comfortably for several months while you were looking for a new job. Most people are trapped by the golden chains of their jobs, forced to stay doing a job they hate, working for people they dislike because they have no money put aside. If their income were cut off for any period of time, their entire financial lives would collapse. When you have 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses saved up and set aside, it changes your complete attitude toward your life, your work, and everything you do. I've worked with many people whose entire careers were transformed because they had the money to walk away from a bad situation. I've also worked with many people who felt unhappy, trapped, and frustrated because they had no savings and therefore they had no choices about what they did or didn't do. The second leg of the financial security stool is insurance. If you are single, you don't need very much insurance. But as soon as you get married and even more have children, you have financial responsibilities. The rule is that you should insure against any amounts that you cannot write a check to cover out of your current bank account. This means, of course, that you must carry complete and proper insurance for your car. You must have medical insurance to provide for medical expenses and medical emergencies for you and your family. You must have fire insurance as well as insurance against theft, damage, and even personal liability for your property. You must also have life insurance sufficient to take care of your family for the indefinite future if something were to happen to you. I've worked with and known people over the years who have been very casual about their insurance coverage. And the rule is that casualness leads to casualties. In almost every case, people who were sloppy or careless about providing themselves with proper insurance were almost invariably caught. Their car was wrecked or stolen, and they had no coverage. Even worse, they lost the car and they still owed money to the bank for payments. A friend of mine worked for years and built a beautiful home that cost more than $2 million. But he procrastinated and delayed on getting insurance. One day his home was completely destroyed by fire and his years of hard work were wiped out. He had to go into personal bankruptcy because he had no insurance on the house. I have friends who play games with medical insurance, and then suddenly they have a medical emergency that wipes them out financially and sets them back several years. I have friends who've gone personally bankrupt because they were not properly insured, even though the insurance was available to them and they could afford it. The best kind of life insurance is term life insurance. This is the cheapest insurance that you can buy that provides the highest amount of coverage. There are several different ideas regarding the amount of insurance you should carry. My own philosophy is to carry enough insurance so that if something were to happen to me, my family would be able to live on the proceeds from my insurance policies at their current standard of living indefinitely. The third leg of the stool of financial security is investments. The most important rules for investing are conservation and diversification. Conservation of your funds is paramount. Whatever you do, don't lose money. When you save and invest your hard-earned funds, never try to get rich quick or make a quick killing. You've worked hard for this money. invest it carefully with a view toward conserving it for the long term. Whenever you think of investing any of your money, think of how long it took you to accumulate that amount of money. How many weeks or months or years of hard work did you have to put in to generate this amount of available cash? When you invest money and you lose it, you are not only losing the money, you are losing the weeks, months, and years of your life that you invested to acquire the money in the first place. The first rule of investing is to investigate before you invest. Examine every single part of the investment from every angle. Ask every conceivable question. Never invest in anything that you do not completely understand and agree with. Only invest in products, services, companies, stocks, and opportunities that you absolutely believe in and would use yourself and recommend to others. People like Warren Buffett, one of the richest investors in the world, is quite clear in that he only invests in things that he fully understands, and he only invests in companies that sell products and services that he himself likes and enjoys and which he believes are good and attractive to hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of other consumers. Warren Buffett avoids investing in high-tech or internet stocks because he says that he doesn't really understand them well enough. Now, if one of the richest and smartest investors in the world is totally focused on value investing, on investing in things that he fully understands, you should be as well. The other principle of investing is diversification. This means that you avoid putting all of your eggs in one basket. You diversify your funds so that if one of your investments goes down, the other investments will remain stable or increase. A professor of finance named Markovitch developed the Markovitch portfolio theory some years ago and received a Nobel Prize for his insights. He examined various investment strategies over many years and over many thousands of people. He found that in the long term, the most successful investors were those who invested in a variety of stocks, each of which were counter-cyclical to others. This meant that when some of the investments went down, other investments in the portfolio went up. Over time, however, the overall return to a balanced or diversified portfolio like this was consistently higher than the return to a portfolio that was less diversified and where all the stocks either went up or down together. There are basically four places you can invest your money. The first is in a savings or money market account. A fixed savings account with no checking privileges will offer the highest rate of return that the bank can offer. A money market account, which you can open with almost any broker, will pay you a high amount as well, and your return is calculated on almost a daily basis. The funds are also liquid in that you can withdraw them at any time should you need to. This is a virtually no-risk way of investing. From then on, there are various degrees of risk in every investment. The higher the potential rate of return, the greater is the potential risk or downside as well. Self-made millionaires don't take unnecessary risks. They don't speculate or gamble. They work hard for their money and they deploy it very carefully. You must do the same. Perhaps the very best investment vehicle for the average person is a carefully selected no-load mutual fund. A mutual fund is a pool of funds that are brought together by many hundreds and even thousands of investors. Professional fund managers who watch the money 40 and 50 hours per week carefully invest this money into a wide range of stocks, thereby assuring a high degree of diversification that is not available to the average investor. For example, if you put $100,000 into a balanced, diversified mutual fund, the managers of the fund would spread your $100,000 over dozens, maybe hundreds of different stocks, each one carefully selected, carefully monitored, and carefully evaluated for its overall likelihood of return for the portfolio. Investing in a mutual fund has a certain amount of risk, but the risk is spread across the entire stock market and the entire American economy. If the overall economy is good, your mutual fund will do well. If the overall economy slumps for any reason, your mutual fund will slump as well. But this is a small risk that is largely unavoidable if you want to also get the high potential returns that a diversified portfolio of stocks can offer you in a good economy over the long term. There's a riskier way to invest, and that is for you to buy individual stocks. Many people do extremely well by investing in individual stocks in companies that are growing and increasing their sales and profitability rapidly and steadily over the months and years. However, when you begin investing in individual stocks, you must watch them all the time. You cannot simply invest and walk away. That is why it is usually safer and more sensible for you to select a good mutual fund, or even more than one mutual fund, invest your money in that fund, and then trust to the professional managers to achieve the very highest and safest returns possible. Mutual fund managers have a tremendous incentive to manage your money carefully. First of all, they only receive a management fee of about 1 percentage point or less on the total assets of the fund. Therefore, their personal income is determined by the size of the fund, both the amount that it earns and the rate at which it grows and attracts new investors. Mutual fund managers are absolutely determined to achieve high rates of returns for their funds so that they can attract more and more investors so that they can make higher and higher management fees. As you begin to accumulate money, you should seek out a financial advisor who can help you design an ideal portfolio of savings, insurance, and investments for you in your current situation. Read the books and articles. Subscribe to financial magazines. Talk with your friends. And get all the information you possibly can before you allocate your funds. The key is to get rich slowly but surely. There are many other investments, such as income-producing real estate, limited partnerships, investments in your business or in the businesses of other people you know, as well as speculative investments in gold, silver, commodities, and other highly volatile investment vehicles. The basic rule has always been the same. Investigate before you invest. Spend as much time investigating the investment as you spend earning the money that you're going to put into it. And above all, don't lose money. All long-term money is conservative money. Be cautious. Be careful. Set your financial goals and work toward them $1 at a time. Don't look for fast, easy ways to get rich. There aren't any. Wherever you are, whatever your financial situation, even if you are deeply in debt, begin today to save 1% of your monthly income. Put it away in a special savings account. Resolve to never touch it, no matter what happens. Live on 99% of your income. No matter what your situation today, you can do that. In a few weeks or a few months, you will become comfortable living on 99% of your income. Then, begin saving 2% of your income and living on 98%. Keep doing this over the weeks, months, and over the next couple of years until you are saving 10 and 20% of your income and living comfortably on the other 80 or 90%. This simple formula will change your entire financial life. When you practice regular saving and investing, when you live on less and less of what you earn, you develop a wonderful feeling of personal power and control over your life. You very soon become financially independent. You become smarter and smarter about money, and your money begins to accumulate, to grow like a snowball. In a few years, you will look around and find that you have a large and growing investment account and that your financial worries have receded into the past. Your whole future will open up for you like a sunrise. You'll be on your way to financial independence, and nothing can stop you.